Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
So we are back, second hour. We will head to Vegas in a couple of minutes and talk to Ross Dellinger, who's out there covering the Charlie Baker speech. See him in 30 minutes. Let's get back to the calls. And Max is up next in Tallahassee. Hello, Max. Max, good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay. How are you doing today?
Very well.
All right. Well, right now, Paul, I'm currently looking at Doe Campbell Stadium where the Noles play, and I can't help but feel like we got cheated. I'm obviously biased. I'll admit that. I'm a senior here at Florida State, and I grew up playing football. And I was told that if you left everything out on the field, won all your games, overcome adversity, then you'd have a chance at the championship. Florida State was not awarded this opportunity. I went to all the home games, Paul. What kind of message do you think that sends our youth? I drove down to Orlando for the first game of the season versus a number 5 LSU team. And I went to the UF-FSU game. I didn't even have a place to stay, Paul. I slept in a tent with my roommates. I spent hundreds of dollars on these tickets for these games. I would have just saved my money if I knew the games weren't going to matter. And I would have just gone to the home games instead of traveling all over Florida to support my Noles. My question for you is, do you really think they put the number or the 4 best teams in the playoffs? And if they did not put the 4 best teams, and you were on the committee, what would you tell the FSU players right now to try and make them understand why they were left out?
Well, Max, number one, I don't think they did put the 4 best teams in the playoff.
Okay.
I would have left somebody out to make room for Georgia. I frankly think Georgia is as good as anybody in the playoffs, but they lost the game that mattered. So you guys won the game that mattered. And what I found interesting,
all the games that mattered, Paul.
Well, you won the championship game, which in theory should matter the most to the 13-person committee. But here's the issue. You're looking at it very narrowly. You're trying to use things to support your argument about things you may have learned in Pop Warner football or high school football. And what you learn, I've done things in my career, in my life, that I thought were as good as I could do, and sometimes it's just not good enough. How many golfers should have won a major but lost to Tiger Woods? How many great basketball players played the game of their lives and still lost to LeBron James? It's part of athletics. Although in this case, it's subjective. It's figure skating. I think my friend Greenberg used that line the other day. You're at the whim of a judge. And in this case, the judges ruled Florida State wasn't good enough. And if you accept all the things that go along with college football, and you do because you're part of the ACC, which is part of the CFP, you have to live with the consequences.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Paul. And what you said to Derek, a couple minutes ago, how you said the ACC is only losing out on $6 million, which is true, but they're also losing out on their reputation, Paul. I mean,
Max, allow me, if I could, to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Paul.
Back a year ago, 2 years ago, did the commissioner of the ACC, or did he not, combine with 2 other commissioners and block a 12-team playoff for 2023?
Yes, Paul, okay. He did. And in hindsight, that looks bad, but they didn't know that this situation
But Max, I think the questions from Florida State fans, really need to be asked of their own commissioner, not of me. I don't have any authority here. I know a lot of people think we do. I mean, I've been accused at the highest levels of, and it is a fact that I was on ESPN's highest rated morning shows last week arguing against Florida State. Did I see this coming down the track? Yeah, I did. I'll admit, I saw the possibility Alabama could beat Georgia and get left out. And did I think that was a good thing? Not at all. Did I raise my voice? Yes, I didn't. But I was invited to be on those shows. It wasn't a conspiracy. I've been at ESPN for 10 years. Nobody sits in a room and hatches plans to do anything. Certain people are invited to be on certain shows, and I think it was a very good point that David Hale made. He covers the ACC. Greg Sankey was on College Game Day on Saturday. He was on our show on Friday. Was your commissioner, Mr. Phillips, was he on the ACC network all week? Was he on ESPN? Hale said no. Hale said that the commissioner said he would let the games speak for themselves.
Well, I think that the games did speak for themselves, and I still think that Florida State got cheated.
I know we can't take Alabama's loss out of the equation, but for a moment, let's take it and move it over here. If you're watching the Alabama game and then you're watching your game in Charlotte on Saturday night, are you telling me that if you're an objective person, you're more impressed by FSU struggling to a 16-6 win versus Alabama beating Georgia the way they did?
Okay. Yeah, so look, I will say Alabama looked better than Florida State. They absolutely did. But the thing is, Paul, you can't take the loss out of the equation. You have
to. No, but Max, here's what these committee members do, though.
Florida State did not lose.
Listen, everyone's aware of that, okay? But as I've learned, because I had to torture myself one long afternoon in Connecticut and be on a mock committee, and it was one of the most painful things I've ever gone through, especially after you come up with the first five or six. I mean, we spent more time on 23, 24, and 25 than we did on the first three. They vote in threes. You've heard all this before, have you not? So
yes,
they
sir.
Got the first I've heard. Three. They got the first three done. Then they were voting on the next three. The next three were Alabama, Georgia, and Florida State. That's where the debate came down.
Yep.
And you're hung up on being undefeated, but undefeated is important. Undefeated matters, but ultimately you're looking at a body of work, and Florida State's body of work was far more impressive in September than it was in December, for the simple reason that their big wins ended up getting devalued.
Well, I'm sure I'm not going to be able to change your mind on this.
Well, no, I'm not trying to. My mind is not going to change. I'm simply trying to enlighten you as a young person, who I think should. While a tinge of bias, should be open-minded to understanding that this is not some conspiracy, this is not some cabal, this isn't like OPEC. These are 13 people who sit in a room, and in that room was Boo Corrigan, who works in Raleigh, North Carolina. You had a former Wake Forest coach in that room. And you had other people, and everyone thinks that Nick Saban is automatic. Well, Nick Saban got left home last year.
Well, he should have been, Paul. He should have been left home this year.
Do you remember last year? I mean, I remember what I have to say a lot more easily than anybody else, and I'm not going to simply, show you a tape because I don't really care. I'm not like that. But I sat here a year ago on national television, on ESPN, on Stephen A., on other shows, and said Alabama doesn't belong. I didn't hear one person in Tallahassee say that. All I heard was, Paul Feinbaum's a sycophant. He lives in Nick Saban's guest house. I moved out, okay? let's move on from that. Do you think Nick Saban was happy with me a year ago? He wasn't. And how do you think how do you think I know he wasn't?
Did he tell you?
Private conversation. But my point being, I call them like I see it. I work for ESPN. I don't work for the SEC.
Sure. You know, Paul, I appreciate you letting me talk today. I just want to say one last thing. Go Noles and have a good day, Paul.
Congratulations on being a open-minded young man. We need more of you in this world. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul? Andy! Man, my hair's been on fire, Paul, and I don't have any freaking hair, man. What the flip? Jim actually made a good, compelling phone call today.
He did.
I knew you were going to coach him out of the shadows. But these FSU people just don't get it. I mean, you're 13-0. You won your conference. You're conference champion. There's a long ways from being a conference champion in a weak conference versus the national champion. I'm sorry, people. The team that got screwed is the Georgia Bulldogs. But bottom line, well,
you know what it is, Bubba, and I'm going to sound my age now. I'm going to sound like my father and grandfather. These kids nowadays, the media has participated in this fake narrative that they were entitled to something. They were not. They won their conference. Big deal.
It's all about being entitled. You're entitled to nothing. Let me tell you something. It's like that guy that you were talking to yesterday. He said, well, I feel like Michigan and Washington will meet for the national championship. Washington has the best offensive line in the country. Bull crap. How many SEC defenses has he faced at Washington? Zero, dude. You put them up in front of 10 SEC teams throughout the season, they're not undefeated, and I no telling how many freaking sacks they've got. I don't want to hear that crap. It's big boy football. What's it going to look like if Texas strolls into the SEC next year as defending national champions?
Texas is already in the SEC as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and Texas is legit. There's going to be one or two things happen. Alabama is going to shock the world and everybody else and the naysayers, and they're going to win the national championship. Or Texas is going to roll in there and prove that beating Alabama at home early in the season was not a fluke, that they are the true national champions and they're ready to come to the SEC and compete with the big boys. All right, the Pac-2. Is that what we are now, the Pac-2? Is there even two teams left? They're not even freaking relevant. The ACC commissioner and his little alliance he had, They cut their nose off to spite their own faces.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what they got out of that. They did, because nothing happened.
They didn't get anything but a little bit of attention because they were acting like titty babies, because they were butthurt at Greg Sankey for accepting Oklahoma and Texas into the conference. And if he hadn't, they would have been fighting for him amongst themselves to get him. It's ridiculous. Come on, people. But they got what they asked for. They got their ACC champion left out of the playoffs. And in essence, Georgia got left out too. I mean, you can't tell me Georgia's not one of the two best teams in the country. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
But there's nothing we can do about that. Next year, we're going to the 12-team playoff. But I do have a question about the 12-team playoff. All right, these games, these playoff games will be bowl games. How do they determine which bowl gets a playoff game? Do they have to bid for those, the bowl committee?
You mean next year or now?
Yeah, next year.
Well, no, it's all set up. Most of the bowl games will be sites for quarterfinals and semifinals.
Okay, and I'm sure they've already set their budget for that as well.
Oh, yeah, it's already done.
Exactly, just like the budget for this year's playoff and national championship. It doesn't matter who the final four teams are. That has nothing to do with the money. The money's already been put in place, people. So this little narrative, oh, they just wanted Alabama because they thought they'd make a few more dollars, it has nothing to do with that. And I don't know why these numbskulls can't get it through their thick head. Hey, you and Randy have a good day.
Peggy is up next. Hello, Peggy.
Hey there, Paul. A little bit of excitement going on, I guess.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
You're cooking with lard now, ain't you? I was surfing on YouTube, and you are getting attention on some of the craziest little podcasts and sites I've ever seen.
So Peggy, what did you hear that was interesting?
Okay, this one site, let me see what it's called. Let's see, Late Kick is one of them. And yeah.
So what did Late Kick say about us?
Well, they've got he's not really saying that much. They're just having guests on there, but it's the podcast out of it was pretty calm. It's the ones, say, coming directly out of Florida.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, they're laying it on you, honey. You and Herb Street organized this whole thing.
Well, we did.
Yeah, I know, just slick, Paul.
My question, Peggy, is this: because I conspired to get Alabama in, I need to know this now so I can warn my family. Am I going to prison?
I think you're too smart.
I had a friend that went to prison. I don't know if I'd call him a friend, but an acquaintance, maybe a friend. And he had about 6 months before he went to federal prison, and he had to meet with specialists. There's a protocol.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about?
They
sit down with you and you go through a number of things, the do's and don'ts of prison. So if I'm going to prison for supporting Alabama. Number one, hope it's a prison in Tuscaloosa. but two, I just need to know what I need the do's and the don'ts.
If I go to prison for
getting Alabama in the playoffs, best not to wear any of my Tide gear.
No, don't wear, you know, they won't let you have a necktie, so you know.
I can't wear my Alabama hat, my Roll Tide sweatshirt.
Oh, that houndstooth hat. You'll be stopped. But we'll put you up here in Brushy Mountain, and you'll have the place to yourself.
Hey, Peggy, I have been to Brushy Mountain. When I was in school, we took a bus ride to Brushy Mountain State Prison. That's where James Earl Ray was.
You'll be familiar with it, Paul. You'll know your way around.
Oh, my goodness. That was one mean-looking prison.
Hey, I tell you. Excitement. I was getting ready, trying to get into basketball season. I was done and, you know, get ready. year enough just to watch the playoffs, and I thought, wowee, boy, we're in it now.
Hey, thanks, Peggy. We're heading to the break. We have much more to come. Ross Dellinger from Vegas after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, a lot of news happening in Las Vegas. Why? Because there are a number of things converging out there. The Hall of Fame dinner last night, the Sports Business Journal conference, which brings all the leaders of the industry, including some of the preeminent sports journalists, including Ross Dellinger, who has been covering it all today. Ross, I know the big story is Charlie Baker. We certainly have seen what he had to say. Take us behind the scenes as only you can. What did you see and learn today? It is still early in Vegas.
Yeah. It is early here. And we had Charlie Baker this morning on the stand in a one-on-one. He did not speak to us off stage. He said he wanted to let his comments on the stage stand and let his memo, his proposal stand, and didn't want to say any more. He answered several questions. He cleared up some things, Paul, about the proposal, but there are plenty of unanswered questions. And I think everybody probably should take a breath, right? There's a lot of freaked out people, I think, over the proposal, from conference administrators to school administration to coaches to NIL collectives and such. This is just a conversation starter. You know, he purposely dropped this when he did, obviously, around the Sports Business Journal conference where everybody gathers and talks about the issues of college sports, and he wants the conversation to be had. So it's just – it's a proposal that needs probably a lot more vetting and conversation around it. But you can see it is a step in the direction of direct pay from schools to athletes. And that's a big step by the NCAA. So today, you know, as far as what he said in questions maybe that he answered and cleared up, number one, Paul, Congress is still needed to make any kind of action here. The NCAA still needs congressional assistance. Specifically, they need a narrow or a little, as Charlie Baker said, a little antitrust exemption. And, you know, aside from that, they obviously need athletes to be deemed students and not employees. So those two things are very important to make any kind of proposal like this work.
And Ross, other than the obvious calendar, What has changed that would be more likely or less likely to get Congress to enact this legislation?
Well, I think part of dropping a proposal like this, which is, you know, pretty radical for the NCAA, is to get Congress's attention and to maybe appease lawmakers to say, Paul, hey, look, you know, look, lawmakers, we are trying. Look, Congress, we are trying. See, we are okay with directly paying athletes. Now, please help us, right? Please help us do it. I think that that is probably part of this. And I think he's gotten attention, you know, at the congressional level. And look, the ball has been rolling a little bit in Congress with this issue for the last, I would say, few weeks, Paul, the last hearing that happened about a month ago, I think moved some people. I think there are lawmakers on the Democratic side of the aisle that were moved a little bit by the last hearing when it comes to getting involved with employment, athlete employment. So I think there's some movement there. And I think that Senator Ted Cruz and then on the Democratic side, Booker and Blumenthal, I think they're all working together. I think they're progressing. There's some progress being made with the bill. And again, that is necessary for any plan at all or any rule really around athlete compensation that the NCAA implements. Congress is going to have to, as Kelly Baker said, codify it with legislation.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard the word codify a lot with Roe versus Wade and Dobbs and all that. It's a word used on big, important deals. So I want to get to the reaction. Nobody needs to tell you who sits at the top tables of intercollegiate athletics. You have two commissioners who have their hand on almost everything. Greg Sankey included. He said today, it seemed that we're just interpreting here, but you were there, and this I'm quoting from your tweet. It was not sent to commissioners. We were a little bit late relative to the rest of the world. I've heard the commissioner talk like this before. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what is your reaction to what he has said?
Yeah, I think Greg Sankey was pretty blunt there. He sounded at least disappointed that the leadership at the commissioner level, the Power Five commissioner level, in his presidential presidential board, which he cited there, talking about why wasn't my board involved in the conversation sooner. I think he's disappointed in the NCAA and how they rolled this out, and he made that quite clear. Charlie Baker is a former politician. Obviously, he was governor of Massachusetts for two terms. Paul, living in D.C. and with a wife who is a political reporter, I do know that this is somewhat a tactic that politicians often take. And that is to kind of, for lack of a better word, drop a bombshell, right, and see what happens and get the conversation started and see what comes out the other end. And I think that's exactly what happened here. But there clearly are maybe a little hurt feelings, maybe a little bit, that some weren't notified. And I will say this, people were notified to a degree. Right. Like commissioners, members of the board of governors, members of the board of directors, they learned that something was coming around athlete compensation in NIL. Some new model was on the way, but they didn't know real specifics. And I think what really jarred everyone, Paul, is the $30,000 figure. To have a figure right in there. I think that kind of that is the thing that's really jarred a lot of people.
And Ross, I have no idea what Charlie Baker's modus operandi is. He is a politician. From my brief encounters with her, he looks like he's trying to do the best he can before he looks for an exit. A year from now, I know I'm making this into a parlor game, but where do you think this will be?
Well, I think Charlie Baker used the words as far as, when this will pass or how this will pass or the next steps. He used the word urgent patience today, which I don't know that I've ever heard used before, but I think he knows this needs to be an accelerated process. That it needs to get through the NCAA, membership as quickly as possible, because we haven't talked about, right, we talked about Congress on this call, Paul, but there's another thing with the courts, the House, the antitrust house case against the NCAA, which could be the most costly case in college sports history, $3-4 billion. This is a big reason why change is needed, so you prevent those cases from happening again and settle that case. And part of the settlement could be a new model like this. So it needs to get done pretty quickly. Now, the NCAA, just like Congress, Paul, doesn't do anything quickly. And Charlie Baker knows that. He mentioned the, I think he kept saying, like, the 2,000 committees that the NCAA has or whatever. And he wants to bypass all that, or he wants to accelerate this as much as he can. So this year's NCAA convention, which is in mid-January, Paul, right after the national championship game, will be a big convention. It'll be an important one where this topic will be discussed heavily. I doubt they'll bring it to a full membership vote then. I doubt they can do it that quickly, but you never know. But this thing needs vetting. And unless you better have the schools that are going to be in this subdivision, Paul, you better have an agreement from them, right? They better agree that this is the way to go. And that's obviously SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Big 12, and maybe some of the Group of Five as well. But if they don't agree that this is the right way, then there's no reason to pass it, right? Because they're not going to take part in it. So that is going to be an interesting dynamic over the next few weeks.
So it leads a lot of people to speculate, why do these power conferences need the NCAA? Is there a simple answer, or is there an answer at all?
Well, I think there is, and I think it's a great question. Obviously, this model, right, everything remains under the NCAA umbrella with this model, which obviously is beneficial for the NCAA president, of course, right? So I think that's one of the reasons he's getting out in front of this is because this does maintain and preserve the role of the NCAA. Look, I know there's a lot of talk, Paul, of this Power Five splitting out from underneath the NCAA. I think a lot of leaders have been pretty clear. Greg Sankey, one of them, they really don't want to do that. They want the NCAA to still, the NCAA does have some benefit. Being part of the NCAA does have benefits. Number one, they do put on, right, championships. Number two, they do have an enforcement arm, although it's struggled lately, right, and frustrated many. But number three, and this is important, and Greg Sankey's mentioned this before, it's a national organization, and you compete for national championships. And so you want everybody to still kind of compete together. And there's a fourth reason you'd want to stay under the NCAA too, Paul. All these lawsuits and legal challenges, many of them are focused on the NCAA, right? And so you branch off, and now you're the one sued. So it gets complicated. It gets messy. It's a step. It's a small step, but at the same time, it's a big leap in a lot of ways for college athletics, a college athletics leader like him, Charlie Baker, to present a model that pays athletes directly. And I know you got a lot of SEC viewers there. I think there's some administrators in the SEC who think that this model doesn't necessarily go far enough and doesn't solve some of the things. And when I say go far enough, I think there's plenty of people right now that just kind of want to, so to speak, rip the Band-Aid off, Paul, and go to a revenue-sharing model or even an employment model and just skip all of this incremental steps that we're seeing. It's an interesting time here. It's an interesting time in college athletics, and it doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Ross, I realize this is the bomb, the one that went off that everybody is talking about, but if you could move this one off the board, hard to do, but what's the next hot topic out there among all the administrators?
Well, Charlie Baker and some others will probably tell you that is gambling, sports gambling, that there is some real concern as sports gambling becomes legalized across the country. There's some concern in athletes, not just sports gambling themselves, right, but giving out information, how closed off and secretive coaches can be with their injury information. So that's a concern that I think is at the top of Charlie Baker's kind of list there in other administrators. Beyond sports gambling, you know, Paul, there's really no shortage of topics. I mean, NIL is interwoven with all this that we've talked about, all the new model, but certainly NIL continues to be an issue. And then there's the CFP, Paul, just the CFP in general. Yeah, you know, the CFP selection, we just saw what happened with Florida State. Some think that the CFP selection committee should be changed or overhauled in some way after this. There's no shortage of topics.
We will let you get back to the slot machines. Oh, I mean the work. Ross Dellinger joining us from Vegas, where everything that he sees and hears out there obviously has not stayed there. He shared it with us. We'll take a short break here. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We continue here. David is in Indiana. Hello, David.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum. I hope you're having a good day.
We are.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments I'm sure have been made by people who are more intelligent than I am about football, but granted, Florida State did go undefeated, and they did beat LSU, but it was in September, and that was an eternity ago, and that was their best win. And playing in the ACC, which I'm not trying to be mean, it's a subpar conference. They beat Duke and Clemson. I believe both of them were ranked at the time that they won, but Duke ended up with 5 losses. Clemson ended up with 4, so that devalues those wins. And I may be way off base here, but I think that the committee probably watched Florida State struggle to get into double-digit points against Louisville.
Sure they did.
Who was having a hangover from the 38 that got dropped on them by their in-state rival Kentucky just the week before. I mean, I was just trying to put it into perspective a little bit. Yes, they did go undefeated, and they won their conference championship in a conference that's pretty pitiful.
No, and it's a I think a lot of FSU fans just don't factor that in. I completely understand their argument, but arguments don't only have one side. And this is not high school where you know, you're going to you know, remember the Titans. I mean, this is they're undefeated. Okay, they played in a bottom of the Power Five division, so to speak, and I don't think they have a win that resonated with the committee. Quite frankly, Louisville, I guess LSU's 13. I mean, you're trying to compare beating a number 13 team versus beating the number 1 team the previous week.
Correct.
And they didn't have a loss, but they nearly had a couple of losses. And you know, well, didn't Clemson have a chip shot field goal to beat them? And they missed?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, by the way, I'm well aware of what Alabama's done before somebody regales me in Alabama's season. I've lived it pretty intensely. But the game that was most important to Alabama was the last one, and they nailed it. And the other team did not. Stacy is next.
Paul, what's up, my man?
Hey there.
I heard you say yesterday that you wanted me to interview Mike Griff. I'd be honored to interview
so,
well, Griff.
So okay, I'll be Griff for a second, and it's all yours. I'm the guest, so it's your ball game.
Hey Griff, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am doing great, Mr. Stacy. Go Dogs.
Well, Griff, let me ask you a question, Griff. Who writes your content?
Who writes my what? I didn't understand that question.
Who writes your content? Who writes your stuff? Like, where do you?
Well, I write it. Let me go over my resume. I'm a longtime sports writer. I covered Alabama in the 90s. I went to Tennessee and was a suck up for Butch Jones during his tenure, and now I'm a suck up. I cover Kirby Smart in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. So, have you ever covered Nick Saban?
Yeah, of course. I covered the SEC. I've been to a number of Alabama games this year.
So why do you talk at the side of your neck about Bama?
You realize you're talking to an 82nd Airborne veteran right here. Do you realize that? You should show me respect.
Yeah, I'm showing you great respect, but
you don't talk to. I mean, we're part of one of the proudest groups in the armed services, and you're talking to me like trash.
Thank you for your service. Now, back to what I said. Why are you talking about Alabama at the side of your neck?
Well, I'm not talking about anything. I mean, I cover a team that has won 29 straight games. And they would have won 30 straight games had the officials not blown that drop play and had the ball bounced over the goalpost instead of back, and had the referees blown about 10 other games. And it's a conspiracy to keep Georgia out. You know that. Georgia's better than Florida State, Michigan, Alabama, and every other team on the face of the earth.
Well, let me tell you this, Griff. I told the great Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.